life. I didn't say chozer b'tshuva. I said you do tshuva.
So that means basically whatever
sins
you did, like you didn't do it.
It's not that you didn't do it, but this is there's many levels of tshuva. But I'll give you an example. Let's say I did something today. I now come and I want to recap my day. Okay, so I wake up in the morning, I sit on my bed right before going to sleep, and I say, okay, I woke up, did I go right away to say the morning prayers? Yes, check. Did I go right away to pray? Yes, check. When I went to pray, a poor person came and told me he wants some charity. I did give him, I didn't give him. I go through my day, and I do a recap, but then I go through all the bad things that I did. And then I say, you know what, in the afternoon, I wasn't in a good mood and my wife said something and I snapped at her and I yelled at her. I should apologize. It's not nice. It was me. It was my issue. I can go right on the spot to the other room and tell my wife, before when I screamed at you, I'm sorry. And you don't know what the sorry can do to your spouse. One word, just saying I'm sorry for yelling at you. My child, I can go through my day. You know what? I was under pressure. My child spilled a cup and the water went over the floor. Some parents, they flip out screaming. The child goes into distress. The father just needs to walk into the child and tell him, I'm sorry I screamed at you before. I apologize. I had a long day. Second you corrected it. So a person can do tshuva that time. What did I do all day? Now I'm giving you just examples. It could be maybe I lied today. You know what? Maybe today in the business deal that I did, I wasn't 100% honest. Tomorrow I'm going to call them and tell them, listen, it's not exactly like that.
But is it true when you do din with yourself?
In some cases.
What comes in and then someone kicks in all day, every day, and then at the end of the day,
No, that doesn't work like that. This is what's called Echtav Ashuv. It says me, a person that says Echtav Ashuv, that I'll sin and then I'll do tshuva and must speak in be'adol lasot tshuva. He's not going to get assistance to do tshuva. Of course, a person cannot lead his life and saying I'm going to do whatever I want and then comes Yom Kippur and I'll be the biggest tzaddik. When I'm saying Kriyat Shema Lamita, that's an auspicious time to do tshuva, is because you're already closing the day. Like a businessman that's closing the shop, he counts the money. I never heard of any businessman that closed the shop the day and does not count the money, and does a cheshbon. What did I make? What did I...
Right.
You do a cheshbon nefesh that night, and if a person does cheshbon nefesh every night, kol chayecha yu b'tshuva. Your whole life will be in tshuva, and you can correct the bad thing that you did the next day. And I always give the same example. You weren't here in the previous classes, but not too long ago, I come home, my wife tells me I didn't have cash to pay the cleaning lady, I borrowed money from our neighbor. So I tell her, go right now and give the neighbor back the money. She tells me, well, it's 9 o'clock at night. I said, I'll give tomorrow. What's the big deal? $20. I told her, you know what's the big deal? Tomorrow you're going to forget. You're going to be busy. You have 6 kids, you're going to be busy, you're going to forget. And then the next day, you're going to forget again, and the next day, you're going to forget again. It's only $20, what's $20 between friends? And 2 weeks will pass, and you're going to forget. And you know what's going to happen? She's going to be upset. Why she's not giving me the $20? It's not the money, it's the fact. I helped her, why is she not giving me? And every time you're going to go out to the hallway, she's going to look at you like this. And you know what's going to happen? She's holding grudge. Why would you want it? Go right now, give the money, finish with it. Why do you need this headache on you? We're human, tomorrow you're going to forget. So the whole point of doing tshuva at night is that you don't forget. I go to sleep, you know what I do? I email myself a list of what I need to do the next day. Because all the lists that you have, all the apps with lists, they don't work. I email myself, and when I wake up in the morning, I see an email in my inbox. And I know what I need to do the next day that I had to fix from the previous day. Say sorry here. Say sorry there, give back money here, pay this guy, order this. Now the thing is that we are human. Things come out of our mouth, a curse, a yell, a lie, a reaction. We're not perfect. But you know when you become perfect? When you understand what you did and you correct it. And if you let the days pass, you're not going to remember. That's human nature. People tell me, I'm going to come to Yom Kippur and do tshuva. How can you remember on Yom Kippur what you did 10 months ago? You can't. You remember a big sin. But you're not going to remember every little thing. How can you do tshuva? This is not tshuva. You cannot do tshuva on something you don't know that you did. And you cannot do tshuva on something you don't remember. And somebody came to me when I started doing tshuva. Don't be sorry. There's nothing to be sorry about. You can. Somebody came to me when I did tshuva and he told me, you know, you owe me money from 20 years ago. I'm sorry, I don't know. I didn't remember. How much do I owe you? Tell me, let's finish it. Do you think I remember what I did 15 years ago? That's why a Baal tshuva is not an easy thing, because you have to start digging in your past. But if you're smart and you live your life in tshuva, then every time you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, you clean all these klipot. When I lie, if I go through a day and I said 5 lies, then every time I say a lie, A, I put on myself a klipa, right away. I create a klipa, a negative entity that covers my soul, right away. Second thing I do, I bring this din, what I said before, this judgment on me, I'm suffocating an organ. From something simple, lying, just telling a person, why were you late? Ah, don't ask, there was traffic. There wasn't traffic, you just woke up late. You're allowed to lie if it's to save a person, latzil nefesh. There's certain times you're allowed to lie. But I'll tell you this, that when one time, I said it in the last class, but a lot of you were not here. One time I came back from Yom Kippur and came the Motzei Achag, and I came home from shul and I sit with my wife. How was your day? How was your day? No, what achlatot you made for this year? How do they call it in English? Not decisions. How do they? Novenot. You know, when you take on yourself a good decision, they call it, I don't know, resolution. So, New Year's resolution. So I tell my wife, what's your resolution? So she tells me it's high resolution. So anyways, I told her, she tells me, and I tell her, she tells me, what did you decide this year to refine yourself? And I tell her, I decided to stop lying. She tells me, you lie? You don't lie. I told her, oh yes, I do. You know what? Because every time you don't say the truth is a lie. And if I'm late to a meeting, and somebody tells me, why were you late? I told you to come at 8:30. If I tell them, oh, you know, Nas, there was a car accident on the 405. I was stuck there. Don't say you woke up late. That's a lie. So we lie all the time. And you know who you lie to the most? Yourself. So I told my wife, that's it. I'm starting to not lie. One time when I went to a certain yeshiva and I overheard a conversation, and this one guy came to the Rav and he told him, how many fasts do I need to do for this and how many fasts I need to do for that? And he was asking how many times he needs to fast to rectify certain things that he did. I overheard that rabbi telling him, don't lie for a whole week. That's like 1,000 fasts. You don't need to fast. Just don't lie for a whole week. Let's see you not lying for a whole week. People don't understand how bad lying is. I'm not talking about severe lying. I'm talking about if you make an account the whole day, how you conduct your day, every person will see that they lie a couple times a day, and most of us lie a lot, and a lot of the times it's big lies. So if a person works on himself not to lie, that's a very high level of serving Hashem. But when I lie during the day, you know, sometimes you said, I didn't have the option. I had to lie. So at least when you do Kriyat Shema Lamita, you go through your day and you say, where can I fix it? You know, many years ago when I was in business, it's very hard to not lie in business because you need to make a sale. And you know what? I would do Kriyat Shema Lamita and I would be like, you know what? No. If I want bracha in this deal, I'm going to call tomorrow and tell the customer, listen, I wasn't 100% accurate. It's like this and like that. But at least I did tshuva. So you can do many things throughout the day. But if you acknowledge it, you did 80% of your tshuva. And if you did tshuva before you go to sleep, first of all, I always say the same thing. Maybe I'm closing my eyes tonight and that's it. Maybe I'm not waking up.
But you know when
forget about me. Forget about me. Even me. I say, I don't know.
Why do you continue? Maybe. You know when? I don't get that whole. He knows his whole life.
First of all,
but he's not talking about himself.
First of all,
it's weird. I don't get it.
Okay. First of all, even me,
why
I don't know what Hashem wants.
No, you don't need to say it until 10 years later or something.
No, the thing is that you can't count on yourself. You can't hold yourself in a high level. Any person that holds himself on a high level will eventually fall. Any person that counts on his tzadikut, his righteousness, will end up falling. A person need, the Mishnah teaches us, v'yeh be'enecha kerasha. Always think yourself as a rasha. Right? Because if I'm going to think that I'm so good, then I'm going to start being, oh, I'm so good, so I don't need to do this, and I don't need to do that, and I'm so good, and Hashem loves me. The Mishnah teaches us, no, you hold yourself as a wicked person, that you constantly have to look at yourself, maybe I did something wrong, because we're not perfect.
We could be too hard on ourselves.
That's not so good. You have to have a good balance. That's why the same Mishnah also teaches us, yeah, you have to have a healthy balance. But the reality is that the person goes to sleep, including me, has to say, maybe I'm not opening my eyes tomorrow. Where? How am I coming up to the heavenly court? So at least let me come up with tshuva.
So what happens when you...
Then what happens is that the soul goes up and it doesn't get recharged. It doesn't get to the right place. And the soul starts wandering in the heavens. And all sorts of malachei chabalah that were created by our sins are stopping the neshama from going up. That's why a person wakes up in the middle of the night. That's why a person wakes up from nightmares. That's why a person wakes up early in the morning and then can fall asleep. And then all these things is from one thing. That's why a person can sleep it on for 12 hours and wake up totally exhausted. And that's why a person can sleep sometimes for 2 hours and wake up, well, I had a beautiful night.
Wait, what about Hamalach HaGoel? When I read Kriyat Shema, some of them have that, some of them don't. And when I don't read it, and when I do read it, I see a difference. What's the whole thing with
so you have to go by the Nosach that is Shayach to you.
Sephardi.
So if you are Sephardi, you have to keep your Nosach. You cannot change it. You cannot do one day this Sidur, one day that Sidur. You have to know exactly who you are, where you came from, what's the Nosach that you go by. And this Nosach, I don't know how to translate it in English. Nosach is the type of the Sidur. There's many different types. There's Sephardi. In Sephardi, what do you mean?
It's a Baruch.
I know even Sidurim that are Ashkenaz that they say that. No, you can't start adding things.
Oh, no?
No. If you go by a certain Nosach, then you stick with it. You cannot start adding things. Doesn't matter. As long as this is... So you have to find out. You have to find out. And the thing is that the Nosach, the type of the Sidur that you read, is Nogea L'Nefesh. It's custom made for your Neshama. And if you're praying from the wrong Sidur, it's not good, because your tefillot go through. The Arizal explains there are 13 gates in Shamayim where all the tefillot go from. And if you pray from the wrong channel, your tefillot, they get stuck.
All these technicalities, it's making it so...
Why?
At the end of the Arat of
Kodesh. Ani bezad Hashem od kama shavot ole la'aretz.
Wow.
For the last 17 years I lived in New York. I came here 5 months ago. We were supposed to be here only for 6 weeks. We were supposed to do Aliyah. We were supposed to come only for 6 weeks for a bunch of lectures. And my wife didn't get her papers. By the time she got her papers, she was already in her 8th month. So we couldn't leave. So we found a place. That was the Ratzon of Hashem. And in the last 5 months, every night, Baruch Hashem, it's a big city and there's many work to do. So every night I had a lecture in a different place and classes and a lot of classes during the day. And now, Baruch Hashem, my wife had the baby, and in a month exactly, we're going to go to Miami for 2 weeks of tour of lectures. Not only Miami, like the South Florida, then New York for 2 weeks for another tour, and then Eretz Israel. So, 1 month. I'm here from the middle of January, and I'm going to be here till the middle of July. That's what Hashem wants. And again, you know how it came. Can you imagine? All our stuff is sitting in a storage. We came here with suitcases to do the sivuv of a few lectures. Pitom, our whole life changed. We had to get a place, have to buy a car, and everything. When we came here, it was a couple organizations that sponsored us to come. Suddenly, no more sponsorship. I had to find schools for my kids, a house, car, everything. So one can say, oh, where's the tzara? Why are you doing it to me? My wife pregnant, her insurance is in New York, her doctor's in New York. It was like, okay, that's what Hashem wants. And Hashem wants us right now in Los Angeles. So in Los Angeles, I can cry and whine, or I can be like, okay, I'm here. Let's do the best out of the situation. And that's where Hashem wanted me in this time. And that's it. And obviously I had to go and touch a few souls. And that's it. Afshar, the thing is that she ordered. And every week we do the same thing. And I promise Esther we're going to finish early. So maybe we can do it, if you don't mind, outside.
Oh, yeah.
But to sum up the Kriyat Shema Lamita, I always tell it to everybody. If you have to start somewhere, then start with Kriyat Shema Lamita and do it with all your heart. Because if people come and tell me, okay, give me the basics, what should I do? So Shabbat is a big thing. And Kashrut is also a big thing. And this is a big thing. Everybody has something that is big for them. Some people it's not big. Some people say, you know, Shabbat, I love Shabbat. Some people tell me Kashrut, it's the easiest thing. But the basic of all basics, everybody has to pray. And the most important prayer of the day, I see it, is Kriyat Shema Lamita. See how you finish your day, it's how you prepare the next day. It's the time when you leave this world to the spiritual world. You know, at night, your neshama goes up to Olamot Elyonim. Some people, when they channel themselves the right way, and the whole day is good deeds and Torah and mitzvot, and at night, the neshama gets giluim. Doesn't matter. But you know what happens when they come back? Matzav ruach. A lot of energy, a lot of hope, a lot of koach. They're not depressed, they're not weak, they're not this. They don't need to remember. The neshama. If they remember, adrabah, why not? When I go up at night sometimes, I have dreams, I come back with information.
Yeah, my mom says, if you don't want to have dreams, don't put your shoes next to you. Put
yeah.
Where the feet are, so that the shoes will be
yeah.
there, so you won't have to.
But at night, you have to understand that the night is such a powerful spiritual experience. You have a near-death experience every night. Every night you have a near-death experience.
What does it mean when people don't wake up from one sleep?
Then it means that they were in a very high level, that the soul had to die, what's called Beneshika. They went to sleep and that's it.
That means that they're on a high level?
Yeah, the Shama was a pretty high level, that they didn't have to go through any weird death. It's a high level. But very few people get it. But in the reality, at night when you go to sleep, you just think you're sleeping. No, your neshama goes up to Shamayim and it climbs all the levels and it gets cleaned. And if you did Shuvah and Kriyat Shema Lamita, then milemala they clean you and you come back in the morning, clean soul. Betahel libeinu. If you just look, you read, obviously you speak Hebrew, read the text of Kriyat Shema Lamita, you're like, okay, I got the point. You know, I'm putting myself into a, you know, at the end of the day, you go take a shower. Why? Because you sweat. You had it's a hot day. Why you take a shower? You want to clean yourself. You want to go into the bed clean. And after a 10-minute shower, shower revives you. You're like a new person. 1,000 times more is when you take a good night's sleep. So if you prepare your sleep the right way, the body is protected, the soul is protected, the soul goes up to the right place, it gets recharged. When it comes back, it has powers to deal with the world. It doesn't remember what was revealed to it, but you wake up in the morning with good energy. If they remember, then adrabah. But you know how you know another reason where your soul was in Shamayim? If you wake up with a good mood. If you wake up with a good mood, you know your soul was in a good place in Shamayim. How many times you woke up in the morning like heavy like a rock? And how many times you woke up in the morning in a good mood? You were singing, dancing, singing in the shower. If you wake up in a good mood, must be that at night your neshama went to a good place. It was cleaned, it was recharged, it saw things, it got some giluim. So the Kriyat Shema Lamita is a very very important prayer, go to my website. There's a whole 2-hour class about Kirat Shema Levavot. I'm just touching one, a few points on it. No, in the 2-hour class, but it at least gives you the perspective of how important it is to seal your day with the right connection. So if you have to take something out of this class, is to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. And it's not the easy thing, I confess. Sometimes I come home at 3 o'clock in the morning from a lecture. It's hard to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. Kriyat Shema Lamita, you can say even you know, Kriyat Shema Lamita, the Arik Zal calls it a tikkun. When I first became religious and sometimes I would miss Kriyat Shema Lamita, my rabbi told me, Tagid Kriyat Shema baboker afilo, it's a tikkun. There's no brachot, you don't say a bracha. Yeah. If you read, some people, it takes them a long time. If you read the whole thing, you know, I think it could take a good 10 minutes. If you zoom through it, then you may be missing some words. You kind of want to understand what you're reading. Because when you understand what you're reading, then you actually internalize it. Then better to understand. So if you don't understand, then you start by only saying Kriyat Shema in Hebrew, and the rest you do in English, and you want to make it your business to understand. So every day you learn one verse to understand, and then you read it in Hebrew. You better to read it in Hebrew, because you actually, moving your lips, you create things with the letters in Hebrew. So you want to know the Pirusha Milot, you want to understand what you're saying. And the same way that if now I would offer you a job that you get $1 million, but you have to go through a 3-month course to learn the product, you would do it. So same thing here. You want to be in Hashem's army, you do a course, you learn the basics. So it's an important thing. And from 24 hours a day, so you're 15 minutes less on Facebook or whatever, and you do something good for you. And the thing is that this is what I tell people who are not necessarily religious or keep Torah and Mitzvot. But I tell them, you want to be smart? Don't be fanatic. Don't grow, you know, 2 meter a beard. And don't be fanatic. You don't have to be fanatic. But be smart. So if you want to lead a good, healthy life, then take this 10 minutes a day. I guarantee you, your mind will be sharp. Your mind will be focused. You're not going to... Yeah, what it does, it keeps your mind and your spirit and your nefesh clean. So that's why I said before, I believe all the problems of depression and anxieties and all these things, just because of that, it comes from a spiritual place. One out of a million will be depressed because the girlfriend dumped him. Oh yeah, okay. But depression that people get is not normal. How much people are here on all sorts of pills and depression pills. That's not a normal thing. Because this is the problem, what I said before, with medicine in our generation. They don't give a cure, they numb it. They shut you down. But the reality is that why do people in our generation get so mentally sick? Because the amount of impurity in the world affects the people. It hits the mind. The impurity, the tuma, hits mainly the mind, the sechel, the nefesh, the sechel, the spiritual things. That's why, you know, if you look in history books, I can assure you that 100 years ago, people were not depressed. They were strong people. They dealt with problems. They didn't whine over every little thing.
They were in nature. There was no...
Yeah, they were strong, healthy people.
Yeah. You know, everything is automatic. It's
yeah.
Automatic.
Yeah.
Not like 10 years ago when you had to die.
Exactly.
So it's a instant generation.
Yeah.
Everything is instant.
That's not a good thing.
No, it's not. But that's not. That's like more a generational thing. So how come you see people are different?
Because
people get frustrated, they don't get things instantly because they're used to getting things instantly.
But the thing is like this.
Spiritual.
Anything in the modern world can be used for a good thing and for a bad thing. If you take all the modern things and you use it for a positive thing, then it doesn't affect you in a negative way. If you use it for a negative thing, then it will affect you in a negative way. And that's what's happening in our generation. Take the internet. The internet is a wonderful tool. That's unbelievable too. It can be used to a positive thing. I take now this video, I put it on YouTube, 10,000 people see this class. Internet, unbelievable. People in Australia, South America, they see my class. I use the tool to a positive thing. I can take this tool and totally use it to destroy the world. Same thing with the phone, same thing with anything. So this generation, they merited to get technology, but how do you use it? Do you use it for good or you use it for bad? We have such technology in medicine, how come more people get more sick and more sick and more sick?
Conspiracy.
Yeah, of course. Of course it's a conspiracy, because the pharmaceutical companies and all the government, everything is corrupt.
They want people to be sick.
Exactly.
Of course, we know that.
So you can take the technology that we have and cure people, but unfortunately people take the technology that we have to kill people.
There's so, a cure for everything. They're just a market because they want to.
There's not a cure for everything.
For almost everything there's a cure.
See, he could
like a pill, like a pill cure?
Pill is not a cure for anything. Pills are not cure for anything. I'm going to tell you something completely off the subject, but my wife is like a health guru. Okay? Now she has a best friend that she's a